There's about 35,000 of us guys out here at Mare Island. We're working 24 hours a day fixing up busted ships and building new ones. Talk about your total war effort. Brother, we got it here at Mare Island.
Monday, August 17th, direct from the gigantic Mare Island Navy Yard just outside of San Francisco, California, Bromo Salsa brings you another exciting broadcast of Vox Pop, the voice of the people. And now, here are your two Vox Poppers, Warren Hall and that lovely Hollywood star who's again pinch-hitting for Parks Johnson, Miss Carol Landis.
Pinch hitting for Parks, huh? Well, Carol, after last week's program, I'd say you do in a pinch.
Well, thanks, Rodney. I think you're cute, too, but right now I have a handsome young sailor here at the microphone, and...
I get it. Never let it be said that Hull stood in the way of the Navy. Take over, Carol.
Well, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I must have talked to hundreds of sailors this past week here at Mare Island, but... this is the first bashful sailor I've ever met anywhere. Well, no fooling, he really is bashful. He's a fireman first class on a submarine. Walter Turner. Gee, just look at those eyes. Walt, how old are you?
19.
Got a girlfriend?
Sure, back home in Garrison, Iowa.
What's her name?
Vernie Sheldy.
Well, if I change my name to Vernie, can I be your girlfriend?
I guess you could.
Well, Walt, how long have you been in the Navy?
1 year, 6 months, and 13 days.
Sure, it isn't 1 year, 6 months, and 12 days.
No, that was yesterday.
Well, tell me, what did you do before you joined the Navy?
I was a farmer.
Oh, well, then you probably were never away from home until you joined the Navy, were you?
No, I was away 3 weeks before.
Oh, well... Where did you go?
I ran off to Kentucky.
Oh. Well, tell me, since you've been in the Navy, have you always been on submarine duty?
No, I was put on submarines at Manila December the 7th.
Oh, on December the 7th? Then you saw the bombing of Manila, didn't you?
No, I didn't see any of it.
You mean that you were right there and you didn't see any of it?
No, I just heard about it. Every time the bombers come over, we dove and sat on the bottom until they went...
Well, after December the 7th, did you stay around Manila for a while?
Yes, we did. As a matter of fact, I spent Christmas Day on the bottom of Manila Bay.
Oh, gee. Your first Christmas away from home, too. Well, how did you like it?
That's a funny question.
Yes, I guess it is at that, Walt. After all, there's no Christmas tree or snow or presents.
Oh, yes, I got some presents, but I received them in June.
Oh? Well, what did you get?
Oh, some socks and towels and... soap. Oh, it didn't amount to much. I also received some chocolate-covered cherries. They didn't amount to much neither.
I guess not. Not in June. Well, by the way, Walt, what are your duties on a submarine?
I'm an auto, but my battle station is reload crew.
Well, have you ever had the opportunity to reload?
Yes, I have, Carol.
Oh. Well, have you been very successful with the tool?
Yes, we have.
Well, Walt, tell me, after all the action you've seen, how do you feel about submarine duty?
As far as I'm concerned, it's the best branch of the Navy.
Why?
Because of the foolhardy cooperation of all the men. Everyone knows my girl, and I know everyone else's girl.
Well, thanks a lot, Walt Turner. And now I'd like you to have these gifts from Bromo Seltzer. First, this handsome waterproof wristwatch.
Oh, that's great.
And second, this lovely dress for your girlfriend, Bernie Schulte.
Oh, she'll be proud of that, too.
Carl.
Huh?
Say, how about helping me out for a minute?
Why, sure. What is it?
Well, I've got a little play here in which I take the part of the husband, and you're supposed to be my wife.
Okay. What do I do?
Well, you're out in the kitchen fixing dinner, see? When you hear me come home...
Oh, hello, honey. Is that you?
Yeah, it's what left of me.
My, what a long face.
His heat's really got me. Had a tough day. I'm dog tired. And besides that, my head's aching fit to bust. My nerves are jumpy. My stomach's upset.
Well, if you have a headache, why don't you take a Bromo-Seltzer?
Now, friends, right here is where the scene changes. Because I take a Bromo-Seltzer, and three things happen. My head begins to feel better, my nerves start to calm down, and my upset stomach is settled. And before long, I'm saying, honey, you're the smartest little wife in the world. Bromo-Seltzer sure helped my headache fast. What do you say we take in a movie?
You have to promise me one thing first.
Sure, honey. Anything.
Well, next time, don't wait till you get home. Take a Bromo-Seltzer at the drugstore and show up smiling.
Curtain. Also applause from millions of grateful folks who agree that for quick, effective relief from headache, there's just nothing better than Bromo-Seltzer. Thanks for the help, Carol. You made a swell wife.
Well, who do you have one?
Well, here's a fine-looking sailor stationed here while his ship is being up and down, you know, with a little paint and stuff like that. He's 29. He's Chief Quartermaster Walter Mule Sailor from San Gabriel, California. Walt, how long have you been in the Navy?
About 14 years.
14 from 29.
Well, I was big for my age.
Yeah, you're still big for your age, boy. Where did you spend most of the time in service?
Most of my time I spent in China.
Oh, did you like it there?
Sure did like those Chinese people.
Well, good laundry?
Very good laundry.
Did you have any dealings with the Japs while you were there?
I had two different dealings with the Japs while I was there. The first time they ran me out of Shanghai when they took over Hongqiu, took all my household effects and everything.
Really?
Second time it happened in Manila again. Same way.
You mean they took two whole household fulls of goods from
them? Two of them, yes.
Well, I don't know. I guess you have sort of a bill to collect from them, don't you?
Well, that's what our captain told us the night before Macassar Straits. He said that we've been pushed around long enough by them, and if you want to get a chance to get back at those little yellow so-and-sos, now's your time to do it.
And you did, too, didn't you?
We sure did.
Well, can you tell us something about it?
Well, I was on the Parrot then, and the Parrot and a few more destroyers were ordered to attack the Japanese convoy in Macassar Straits. It was a nice night for an attack. There was no moon up, and it was very dark. About 1 o'clock, after running at full speed all night, we hit this convoy, traveled through it at full speed, firing torpedoes to the right and left. Our first ship was about a 15,000-ton ammunition ship, and she just blew to bits. On the second and third run through, we got a cruiser and two destroyers. That finished all our torpedoes, but the fourth run through, we threw everything we had at them with our guns and machine guns, and if we had spuds, we would have thrown them at them, too.
Well, how was it that they didn't fire at you up until that time?
Well, they'd been bombed all day long repeatedly, and they were so confused and excited that they thought they were being bombed again.
Oh, you mean they didn't see the torpedoes?
It was dark. They couldn't see a thing.
Well, you really had them going round and round. You got all right, then.
We got away all right. About 2 weeks later, we found out that after we had left, for about an hour or two afterwards, they'd been firing back and forth across the convoy at each other.
You really had them confused. But, you know, hearing this from you, it sort of sounds as though you fellows in the Navy out there tackle anything.
Well, the bigger they are, we head right for them. To get through, you want to go in there and fight, and that's the best way to get through is pick them big.
That's the American Navy. It sounds good. Tell me, what's it like during action? How do you feel?
Well, you're so busy when the action's taking place that you haven't the chance to be afraid, but... About 2 hours later, your reaction comes in, and you're plenty scared then.
2 hours later? Does it really get your nerves tied up a bit?
Well, your nerves are all tied up, and you're tense. You can't relax. It takes about 2 days, and about the third day, you can get a night's sleep again, and then you're ready to go again.
Yeah. Well, how do you work at battle stations in darkness?
Well, we've been trained for a long time now to do that, and we can operate pretty well in dark.
Don't you ever make any mistakes?
No, we hardly ever... Well, we did make a mistake one night, and that was during an engagement. One of the sailors decided we need a little more coffee. So in the darkness, he decided to make a batch. About 15 minutes later, he went to sample his brew and found out that it was bean soup instead of coffee. He had got some beans by mistake and ground them up and made bean soup.
Well, Walter, are you glad to be back in California?
I sure am. It gave me an opportunity to meet a very wonderful girl.
Nice, huh?
Very nice. I think one of the best.
Well, we hope you make the grade with her, Walter. And Bromo Seltzer has a couple of things they'd like to give you. Waterproof, shockproof wristwatch. And also, this is for your girl now, and we hope this helps you out. There is a sterling silver comb, brush, and mirror set for her. Oh, wait a minute. Walter, wait a minute. Listen, we know that that you would like to have been interviewed by Carol Landis, you know, that very beautiful, famous movie star. I mean, and you got Paula. Too bad, but we're going to give you a consolation prize. We're going to let you ride down to the airport with her after the program and see her off there. And so, just so she doesn't get away, we're going to give you one of her shoes. Come on, Carol. Let him have that shoe. There it is. Now, you hold that, Walter. All right, Carol. Carol, limping up to the microphone.
Well, folks, here's one of the 35,000 civilians who work in this vast city of trains and dry docks and wharves and factories, all going at top speed. Meet Mr. Charles B. Cunningham. What's your job here, Mr. Cunningham?
I'm a quarterman shipwright.
What's that?
Well, a supervisor.
A quarterman's a supervisor. Well, what is a shipwright?
Well, Noah was a shipwright.
Oh, I see. Noah in the Ark. Well, tell me, how long have you worked here?
About 42 years.
You must have started here as a youngster.
Well, I practically cut my eye teeth here.
My goodness. Well, any other members of your family ever work here?
Oh, yes, indeed. My grandfather.
Oh, your grandfather. Well, between you and your grandfather, why, you've put in a lot of service here for the Cunninghams, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. I still have a father that worked here, too.
Wow. Well, tell me, when did your grandfather come here?
Well, in about 58.
Tell me, did he come here on the covered wagon streamliner?
Oh, no, indeed. He and his bride sailed from Boston down to the Isthmus of Panama and crossed on Dunkey. And from there, they took a sailing vessel up to San Francisco.
Well, were they building warships here at Mare Island then?
Yes, they were. They were wood, of course.
Uh-huh. Well, I suppose the Battle of the Monitor and the Merrimack and the war between the states spelled the end of wooden battleships, didn't it?
Well, just about. At that time, the old gent was building wooden warships. And when he retired, they just started to build the steel vessels.
That was your grandfather?
That was my grandfather.
Well, over the years, your family has worked on a lot of ships and helped build Mare Island. You must
have a... I also had a father, too, that worked in Mare Island.
Well, what did he do?
He was a brick mason. Uh-huh. He helped to build Dry Dock 1, several of these brick buildings that see around Mare Island today.
Well, my goodness, your family being so close to Mare Island, you must have a special feeling for the place.
Well, absolutely. It's a wonderful place to work.
How do you think the other workmen here feel about it?
Well, if they were here any length of time, I think they'd feel just like I do.
Well, Mr. Cunningham, they tell me that you're equipped to do any kind of work on any type of warship. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Regardless of the job, they can install boilers, engines, and crack the hand to hinge on a galley door.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cunningham. It's been a pleasure to talk to a man whose family have worked here at Mare Island for three whole generations.
Well, now, that's not all, Miss Landis. I have a son who works in the estimating department, and also a daughter that works in accounting office.
Well, my goodness, that's four generations.
I want you to meet Miss Miller.
Well,
my daughter.
How do you do, Miss Miller?
How do you do, Miss Flint?
Well, what do you do here at Mare Island?
I work in the accounting department.
Oh, the last of the Cunninghams, eh?
No, I'd like you to meet my son, Dee Dee.
Well... How are you, Dee Dee? How are you, Dee Dee? Well, how old are you?
6 and a half.
6 and a half? My, you're a big boy. Tell me, are you going to work here at Mare Island someday?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You just don't know. You're too young yet, huh? Well, good luck to you, Dee Dee. Thanks a lot, all of you Cunninghams. And now, Mr. Cunningham Sr., Bromo Seltzer and Box Pop would like you to have these presents as momentous of this occasion. First, this lovely leather-covered three-way portable radio. And second, this beautiful fitted leather toilet case with ebony-backed brushes, razor case, and so forth. Oh, and Dee Dee is a great big all-metal airline flagship airplane for you to play with. Thank you.
Say, Carol. Say, while you were interviewing the... Isn't that a little Dee Dee cute, though?
Uh-huh.
While you were interviewing the Cunninghams, I snuck a peek into our box pop mailbag, and guess what?
What?
Well, we've got a complaint.
Oh, good heavens.
Yep. Mr. C.T. Hopkins of Syracuse, New York, writes that we're forever stressing how Bromel Seltzer has helped people in defense work, that we never mention railroad men. Well, we'll rectify that immediately by listening to Mr. Hopkins' most interesting letter. He writes...
We railroad men work long hours in every kind of weather and are subject to call practically all hours of the day and night. And naturally, we have to be on the alert. And when we have a headache, we need quick relief. I myself have been using Bromel Seltzer for years. And I notice many of the men carry a bottle of Bromel Seltzer with them. You're certainly right in telling folks about the three ways Bromel Seltzer helps. In the case of railroad men like us, we want more than something to relieve the headache. We want to make sure it helps to settle our stomach and quiet our nerves. Thanks for a swell product.
And thank you, Mr. Hopkins, for writing us your true Bromel Seltzer experience. And Vox Poppers, how about trying Bromel Seltzer next time you get a common sick headache? Remember, only Bromel Seltzer can give you Bromel Seltzer results. Here, folks, is a civilian employee who is doing his bit here at Mare Island to keep him sailing. A man formerly known to sport fans all over the country as a top-flight wrestler. In this corner, at 270 pounds... I said 270 pounds... Patty Shocker of Vallejo.
Are you sure, Warren? You got all the poundage in there.
200. Boy, you're a big fellow. And with that red curly hair and with that red face and those cauliflower ears. Boy, what a big guy. How old are you, Pat?
I'm now 35 years old.
Well, when did you give up wrestling?
About 2 years ago, Warren.
Well, why did you give it up?
Well, it's a secret, but the little woman decided for me.
Imagine that, a little woman bossing a big guy like you around.
Well, sometimes it's done, though, in these days.
You're telling me. How long were you a grunt and groan artist, Pat?
Well, I kept at it for quite a while, Warren. I say around 15, 17 years.
Well, how many bouts?
Well, I had around 1,700 matches.
That's a lot of grunts and groans, boy.
It was a lot of grunts and groans.
Well, where did you wrestle?
Warren, I wrestled all over the world. I wrestled in Australia, New Zealand, all over the United States, Mexico, Canada. Never did tour Europe.
And all around Man Mountain Beach.
Well, and on top of it.
Pat, speaking of wrestling, can you tell me, man-to-man, what's your favorite hold?
Well, Warren... My best hold is two arms around the waist.
Oh. Looking like a sailor, my friend. How long have you been here at Mare Island?
I've been here a little over 2 years now.
Well, what's your job here?
Well, I'm now what is classified as a flange turner.
I used to have a job as a cotton cripper in a Sonicord plant.
Is that any particular type of a job, Warren? Will you explain it to me?
No, it's really double talk. I thought you were throwing double talk at me, Pat.
Well, seriously, Warren, I am a flange turner over here at Mare Island. I bend and shape steel to the sides of the hull of a ship, shape it to any different forms that might be needed.
Well, I know you're a big guy, but you mean you do it with your bare hands? You bend it?
Well, no. We use sledgehammers and flatters and different tools. And we also use heat to heat it up.
Well, what size hammer, for instance?
Well, when I started out, they put me on a 16-pound hammer, which isn't light.
No, I say not. That's still a lot of grunts and groans. You know, I can see you out there right now, stripped to the waist with that California sun bearing down on you, and you really sweating down the face and down the back.
Yes, we do that many a day out there, but they make us put on our shirts now. We have a lot of ladies around in the shipyards, and they tell us we must come to work dressed.
Oh, that's great. Well, what do you do in your spare time, Pat?
Well, in the spare time, in the evenings, I put on shows for the USO, for the civilians, and the boys in the Army and the Navy. We run different types of shows.
Teach them how to box and wrestle?
Giving them boxing and wrestling and teach them how to box and wrestle.
Well, listen, there are lots of speaking of those women coming in here. Are you going to teach them to wrestle?
Well, between you and me, I think we'll leave that to the Army and the Navy boys, the sailors and the Marines.
Thank you very much, Pat. Thank you very much indeed. And Bob Pop and Delmo Seltzer have a couple of gifts for you. We have one of those famous Mixmasters. You can take that home to this little woman of yours so she can wrestle with some biscuits for you, Pat. And a war bond. Thank you very much. And thank you, Warren. Well, that's not all, Pat. Pat, we know that you would like to ride out to the airport with that beautiful screen star, Carol Landis, and see her off. So just to make sure that she doesn't get away, we're going to give you that other shoe. All right? There you are. Now, hold on to it. And here, folks, is that barefoot gal, Miss Landis.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, now I have another one of the men who are working 7 days a week to turn out ships for our Navy, Mr. Henry Groton Mahoney. How long have you been employed here at Mare Island, Mr. Mahoney?
Oh, about 33 years.
You've been here all that time?
With the exception of a couple of years in the last war.
Oh, I see. Well, what is your job here?
Well, I'm classed as a cabin maker or joiner.
What does that include in ships?
Oh, they rebuild small desks and submarines to life rafts and the battleships.
Well, I know that here at Mare Island, you really equip a ship from stem to stern. Are there any unique things that you do here at Mare Island?
Oh, yes. We manufacture our own paint and grind our own coffee here, make mattresses, and make all the flags for the Pacific Fleet.
Well, my gracious, that's indeed quite a job. Mr. Mahoney, I know also that there are over 36,000 people employed here. Tell me, how do you handle all these people working a 24-hour schedule?
Well, I have about 300 buses on the yard here. And the buses take care of most of the outlying transportation. And some men travel as many as 150 miles from their job.
My gracious. Well, I've been around here for 3 days, and honestly, I've never heard so many rivet guns or seen so many cranes or viewed such tremendous activity in my life. I know you're all doing a great job here.
Yes, and I have a son that's doing a great job, too.
Oh, is he working here also?
No, he's a captain in the United States Army Air Service.
Oh, what's his name?
It's Grant Mahoney.
Oh?
And he's... he received a distinguished service class from General MacArthur in the North.
My gracious, that's the second highest award we have. What did he do to merit that?
Well, he volunteered for a dangerous night mission and brought back some valuable information about the enemy. He destroyed a Japanese flying boat and staffed a Japanese radio station. The next day, he went out and on a reconnaissance flight over enemy territory and was attacked in the rear by Jap fighters. His guns jammed, they were shooting for his tail, so he drove his plane over the Jap troops so that the Jap plane strafed their own men. Then he circled and did it the second time.
My gracious. Well, how did you feel about that, Mr. Mahoney?
Well, after he did it the second time, and if I was there, I believe I'd have paddled his pants.
Well, tell me, have you heard from your son recently?
Yes, we've heard from him from India. And he said that he's anxious to get home and paint his distinguished service class on his mother. He said that his mother worried more than he did.
Well, we know that you're very proud of your son, Mr. Mahoney, as is all America. And now Bromo Seltzer would like you to have these gifts to remember us by. First, this aeroplane canvas suitcase with leather straps and fittings. And second, this 1942 model black leather covered camera. Thank you, Mr. Bromo. And now here's a handsome young man at the microphone who speaks for himself. Speak up, Don Frederick.
Friends, do you want quick, effective relief from headache? Well, then, take a Bromo Seltzer. It acts three ways. Number one, Bromo Seltzer quickly relieves the pain of headache. Two, Bromo Seltzer quickly helps calm jumpy nerves. Three, Bromo Seltzer quickly helps settle upset stomach. Now, of course, if you have persistent or recurring headaches, you should see a physician. But for a common sick headache, from work or worry or overindulgence, do as millions do. Take a Bromo Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label. See what a difference it makes when you fight headache not one, but three ways. See how quickly Bromo Seltzer helps you feel more like your old self again. Remember, for fast relief, ask for Bromo Seltzer.
Well spoken, Don, old boy. And now, folks, you know, among other things, Mare Island is the largest submarine building and repair base in the country. And here is a man who's stationed on a sub that was built right here at Mare Island and is now back here for the time being. He's 27 years of age, Chief Quartermaster Ted Doerr of Wahoo, Nebraska. Wahoo! Say, Ted, we had one other Chief Quartermaster on here, and I didn't get it clear. I'd like to have you tell us what the duties of a Chief Quartermaster are.
Well, Warren, the duties of a Chief Quartermaster consist mostly of direct assistance to the navigator, that is, assisting him to plot the position of the ship and all its courses.
I see. Well, how long have you been in the Navy, Ted?
10 years.
How long in the submarine service?
3 years in subs.
But when did you see your first action?
Well, my first action was in the Java Sea, where we were ordered to intercept and attack the Japanese convoy, which we did.
So, just what happens when you sight an enemy?
Well, when you sight an enemy, there is a lot of systematic confusion. There is mainly a large ringing of bells, which sounds like a four-alarm fire, and a lot of twisting and turning of dials and valves, and everybody turns out as is, that is, with or without clothes.
Oh. Well, how do you go about torpedoing?
Well, Warren, you might say a submarine is like a huge gun. I mean, you point it at the enemy, and when you come within range, why, then you pull a trigger, and instead of bullets, you have torpedoes.
Well, did you let go of this convoy?
Well, of course we did.
Get anything?
Well, we sent the largest cargo ship that was in the convoy.
Well, did you see it? How do you know?
Well, we didn't see it because there were destroyers up there, and we crash-dived to what we think is a safe depth, but we came up to periscope depth later, and the commanding officer said he was in a sinking condition.
Good. Well, when you crash-dive, do you really stand there on her nose?
Well, if you were standing on a plank and someone suddenly picked up the other end, you probably grabbed for support, and that's about how it feels.
Did the destroyers come over and serenade you with dash cans?
Well, too many and too much.
I see. Well, when a depth charge goes off near you, what's it like?
Well, if it goes off close enough, Warren, it can break glass throughout the boat, or it can even knock you off your feet. And it sounds like someone outside with a big sledgehammer just beating on the hull.
Well, after all is said and done, do you still like submarine duty?
I love them, and I'll take some more of the same.
Good boy. Now, we have for you a couple of gifts for you to remember Box Pop and Bromo Seltzer by, a beautiful 8mm Cine Kodak home movie camera, and a sterling silver baby's knife, fork, and spoon set for your 3-year-old son. Just a minute. Just so, you get a consolation prize, too, you know. After all, you weren't interviewed by Miss Landis either. So, I know, it's tough luck, isn't it? So, we're going to give you a prize. And let me see now, what can we give you? Well, I've got it. So that she won't get away. And, of course, we're going to let you go down and be her off on the plane. We're going to handcuff you to her. There. That's right, officer. Listen. She's barefooted, and in handcuffs. I don't know. If we lose the key, you may land in Hollywood, brother. Thank you very much, and good luck to you. Well, look, Carol, before you get dragged off the stage handcuffed and practically barefooted, I guess you better say so long. You know, it's really been swell having you on these two box pop shows. You're a real trooper and a real star.
Ah, bless your partner for them kind words, but honestly, Warren, having a chance to talk to these boys and seeing them has been one of the nicest things that has ever happened to me. I've loved it, and, well, so long, Warren, and good night, everybody.
Good night, good luck. Good luck, everybody.
This broadcast does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our product by the War Department, as they do not endorse any product. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Radio engineers must be found to fill important war positions. College graduates and those with engineering experience can earn salaries of $2,000 and $3,200. Get further information at the Civil Service Commission, 641 Washington Street, Manhattan. WABC, New York.